We certainly have the anointing for the teaching. So, Father God, we'll just jump into it. Tonight, we're going to talk about a word that doesn't exist. It's called learnability. Learnability. And this teaching is based on, I would say, over 20 years of ministering, counseling, maybe 30. Not quite sure exactly when I became aware of these concepts. And I've always wanted to put them together in one outline, and tonight seems to be night. So I want to talk about learnability. And as we know, our foundational scripture, everything is based on the following fact, which is from Hosea 4:6. God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And because they have rejected knowledge, God will reject them. Pretty heavy words, huh? Well, A, we don't want to be destroyed. I know everybody listening to me has done his or her best to gain the knowledge of God's word, and we're all getting better and drawing closer to God. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not being destroyed, we're being successful. But we want to be successful at a faster and faster rate, and we want to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about learnability, which is not really so much of a major issue for everybody who's listening to me, but it is an issue for everybody. Keyword being major. Okay, we all need these concepts, which is why I'm teaching it. But we can thank God that we can look back and see from whence we came. So we have been taught a lot, and we have learned a lot. But we still need fine-tuning. So I want to look at some definitions. And you all know how important words are. Proverbs 18:21. You should all have this, totally, absolutely memorized. Mm-hmm. Death and life and the power of the tongue. And we speak life. And we speak the fact that we are going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Amen?
Amen.
Because we have what we say when it doesn't contradict what we have in our heart, when we don't doubt in our heart, and when we put works to our faith, works to our words. Matthew 12:37, you are justified by the words of your mouth. How much more important could words be? Death and life and the power of your words, and you're justified by your words. Yes, we're justified by the blood of Jesus. He died on the cross. He took all our sins, and all our sins have been remitted, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Though they were scarlet, they washed white as snow. How awesome, how wonderful that all our sins have been washed away. But that is really true of every single human being. Jesus died for everybody. So everybody has a right to accept through grace the fact that all their sins have been remitted. Everybody has a right to accept the fact that they're saved. But as we know, most people don't. Thank God that the Holy Spirit touched our hearts and we came to the point where we accepted Jesus as Savior and we're living our lives now as Jesus, as Lord, being washed by the water of the word.
Yes.
And so our salvation is a potential. Yes, when we got born again, our spirits were recreated, and that's not just a potential, it's a fact that we have made our reservation to be with Jesus. But everything that Jesus paid for us belongs to us. And in the sense that we're not walking in the fullness of what he paid for, we're not walking in the fullness of our salvation package. In that sense, it is a potential. And the benefits of our salvation package, the benefits of being justified just as if you've never sinned, justified by the blood of Jesus, the benefits of that justification come to us through the words of our mouth. So we are justified by the words of our mouth. When the words we speak agree with the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the words that we speak agree with our salvation package, when the words that we speak agree with what is in our heart, which we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, and all these wonderful promises, then those salvation blessings start to manifest in our lives. So that's how important words are. Now, because words are very important, also important is the process of definition. Important is the process of defining what words are. So the process of definitions is important. Our faith is bounded by knowledge. The boundary of your faith is your knowledge. You cannot have faith for something that you don't know. So your knowledge of God's promises is a boundary within which your faith operates. As you expand the boundary of what you know, then more and more you can have faith for more of the promises of God. So, understanding the promises of God, understanding what we're saying, has to do with words and their meanings. No, words and their meanings are the tools by which we handle, describe, and acquire all the different facets of life. Words are tools which presents concepts to us. And words are tools which allow us to speak out those concepts and call that which be not as though they are. Now, some words in the language we know are cultural. So you can tell a lot about a culture by the words that they have or the words that they don't have. So, for example, in the Chinese culture, family relationships are very important. So in the Chinese cultures, they have words for relationships within the family that English doesn't have. For example, the word ago means oldest brother. We don't have that in English. We got to describe it, the oldest brother. Some words, of course, are based on trends and fads. One of the worst trend and fad was a number of years ago when they used to use as a superlative to describe something that was fantastic, they would say, that's to die for. But we all know that Jesus died so we wouldn't die, and there's nothing that's worthwhile on earth that we would die to self for except Jesus. Okay? So that's a terrible, terrible expression. And that's an expression that gives legal right to the enemy to come after them. Now, Satan is very deceitful, and he's had thousands of years to practice his deceit. So, since words are the tools whereby we engage with and interact with the things of life, then Satan can be very effective hiding certain words. So, an example, of course, Satan can have hidden certain words and concepts is the word of unforgiveness. Word of unforgiveness. See, in the English language, we know about forgive and forgiveness. But there's no word for unforgive. And there's no word for unforgiveness. There is unforgiveness, which is the process of not forgiving. Actually, to be precisely correct, I'm not sure what unforgive, okay? But unforgiveness is not a word. The unforgivingness, which is a process, it's not the verb, does exist. So unforgivingness exists, but the verb by which it works doesn't exist in the English language. which is interested on my computer, which of course uses Microsoft Word and spell check. On my computer, when you run it, it will tell you unforgiveness of the word, but it does not recognize unforgivingness. So it recognizes unforgiveness, but not unforgivingness. And why is that? Because I've added unforgiveness to my dictionary. But unforgivingness is so unusual that Microsoft hasn't found it yet. So on my computer, it's kind of reversed. But there's a concept. There's a word of unforgiveness that just doesn't exist. And of course, people are extremely highly challenged with unforgiveness. Me, I would say probably 99.5% of all people's problems are caused by unforgiveness. And Pastor Michael has a really good teaching and healing school in that. So 99.5%, in my opinion, of all problems are caused by unforgiveness, and it's not a word in our language. See, that should point out how deceitful the devil is. I'm going to show you another one tonight. So I'm going to give you two definitions. The word teachability from Webster. Teachability is the ability, you think teachability would be the ability to teach. Teachability, right? Teach and ability, put them together. Teachability should be the ability to teach, but not according to English. According to English, it's the ability to learn by instruction. Ability to learn by instruction. I have to be very careful here because there's so many teachers. Listen to me, okay? Teachers by career and teachers by Christianity, okay? Now, learnability is from the ABC dictionary. That's a word I'm coining and creating and adding to our lexicon. Learnability from the ABC dictionary. Every once in a while, we create a word, and somebody once said, more than one actually, said we should have a little dictionary of ABC words. And you know, we really should. I remember decades ago, many, many decades ago, when before I was saved, I had a vocation. And in my avocation, I became very successful at what I was doing. But to achieve that success, to the extent that I was going, I found I was using concepts that were not known to be successful at what I was doing. So I had to create my own words so I could discuss it and teach it. And it was really a productive time. And I was actually asked to speak on the radio on this process. Anyway, that was before I was saved, okay? Different world ago. So learnability from ABC is the willingness to learn by instruction. Willingness to learn by instruction. So one is an ability and one is a willingness. Okay? The ability and a willingness. Let's look at teachability. Teachability from Webster is the ability to learn by instruction. Surprisingly enough, to me anyway, teachability is really a proper word in English. Teachability is really a proper word in English. And perhaps many of you teachers might know that, okay? There is only one meaning, when you look up the meaning of teachability, there's only one meaning referring to the person being taught. Only one meaning. Only one meaning. No, there's a secondary meaning which refers to the object or the lesson being taught, as in the suitability for use in teaching. So the one word teachability means the ability to learn by instruction, but it also means the suitability for use in teaching. So the teachability of a program, for example, or the teachability of a person. Now, from the noun teachability, we get an adjective called teachable. Teachable, we all know the word teachable. Teachable has two meanings which refer to a person, which to me is kind of funny since the noun only has one meaning. So here's the adjective describing that comes from the noun, and the adjective has two meanings, but the noun only has one. Idiosyncrasies of languages, also part of the devil's deceit, I think. So, teachable has two meanings. Capable of being taught. Capable of being taught. And willing to learn. Two separate meanings. They are worlds apart. Capable of being taught. Well, you know, if you're trying to teach somebody art and the person is blind, you get a problem with teachability. Person is not teachable in art if they're blind. Not visual arts, anyway. So, a teachable person, which is the meaning one of teachable, a teachable person has teachability. A teachable person has teachability. Teachability, or the capability of being taught, being teachable, is a function of intelligence and cognitive processes. How the brain works. Person teachability depends on their brain and experience. So their teachability depends on their brain and how it works. But willing to learn is a different animal. Person can be very teachable, but not willing to learn. No, the adjective teachable means capable of being taught, and the corresponding noun is teachability. The adjective teachability, for its second meaning, means willing to learn. For this willing to learn, there is no noun for the second meaning. There is no noun for the second meaning. You still have to use the teachability, which only has one meaning. Now, this lesser used meaning is obvious in classes where attendance is mandated. So if you ever give a class where all the students in the class have to be there and most of them don't want to be, you see exactly the difference between teachability and the willingness to learn. They don't want to learn. Can they learn? Yeah, they don't want to. They have no willingness to it. So they're teachable, but they're not willing. No, they may not be willing for a number of reasons. Okay? And that's the focus of the teaching tonight. Now, this willingness to learn is a function of heart, soul, and mind. It's spiritual. It's psychological. It's a function of heart, soul, and mind. And it's very important for people to recognize it. Why? Because it is critical in spiritual warfare. It's so critical, I've coined a word called learnability. So, a teachable person has teachability. A learnable person has learnability. A learnable person has learnability. A teachable person has teachability. A teachable person has the ability to be taught, but they may not be learnable. They may not want to learn. So a learnable person has learnability, the willingness to learn. Did I make that clear? Okay. Let's look at learnability. Learnability is an interesting word. I looked up dictionary definitions. First of all, it's amazing to me that it is a word. There is a word called learnability. Okay? There is a word called learnable. Okay? So, learnable. There is a word called learnable. And that's pretty amazing to me because I guess I'd forgotten that. Again, for the teachers here, they probably know that. So I looked up learnable on the different locations. I looked under dictionary.com and it identifies learnable as a noun, which for all you teachers know is an obvious grammatical mistake. Learnable can't be a noun just by the virtue of the structure of the word. And it provides no definitions or examples. So dictionary.com says it's a noun and has no definition and no example. Great start, right? Gets even better. Webster Dictionary identifies it as an adjective, which is better than dictionary.com. It says it's an adjective based on the word learn, but it provides seven meanings for the word learn. So the question is, to which of these seven meanings does the adjective attach itself to? Which of the seven? It doesn't state. It's not clear to which one the adjective applies. But more important than that Even though all seven refer to the process of learning, right? All seven meanings of learn on the Webster Dictionary have to do with the process of learning. The general use of the word learnable, the general use of the word learnable, refers to the object being learned, not to the person. So when you use the word learnable, the word learnable is used with the lesson, with the thing you're learning. It's not used to describe the person. So that's truly amazing. That here is the word learnable attached to the word learn. Learn has to do with the people, seven instances of it, but learnable has to do with the object. You think such a confusion came about by accident? I don't. I think the devil is really busy for thousands of years trying to mess people up. If they don't have the right words to describe the concept, people don't teach it. People don't talk about it. People don't discuss it. So, the Oxford Dictionary also identifies learnable as an adjective. Gives no definition either. So neither one gives any definition. Okay? But the Oxford Dictionary does something which the other two don't. It provides examples. All the examples refer to the characteristic of that which is being learned. The lesson, for example. So, here's some examples. Leadership is a measurable, learnable, and teachable set of behaviors. Leadership is a measurable, learnable, and teachable set of behaviors. Learnable in the sense of meaning one. So far, we've only seen one meaning for learnable. Okay? It applies to things. So, leadership is a thing, a concept, and it's learnable, and somebody can teach it. So it's teachable and learnable. Design applications which are learnable. We call them user-friendly, right? Design applications which are learnable. Now, for general usage definition, general usage definition. The acceptable meaning of one above is not what I want to use. It's the only meaning it's got, but I don't want to use it. For it focuses on the object of the teachability, that which is to be taught and learned. I don't want to focus on the object of the teachability. I want to focus on the person. So I don't want to use that meaning. It's of no use to me the way it's defined. Okay? So I want to focus on a person who is both teachable and learnable, who can be taught and is willing to learn. So I'm creating a word called learnable, meaning two. ABC definition, learnable meaning two. It's willing to learn by instruction. It's an adjective describes willing to learn by instruction. Describing the person. Not a learnable lesson, but a person who's willing to learn the lesson. Example one. A learnable person accepts corrections. Example two. A teachable person learns what they like or that which is interesting. Not only are those good examples, they're also psychologically and spiritually true. Let's look at learnability. Now, learnability is a noun. We just looked at the adjective. ABC definition. Willingness to learn by instruction. Now, this is another word we're coining. For learnability, we are adding a second meaning. But for learnability, we are creating a whole new word. The willingness to learn by instruction. A person may be teachable, that is, has the ability to be taught, but is not learnable, has no willingness to learn that particular subject matter. So we see it all the time. A person may be teachable, has the ability, but is not learnable, has no willingness to learn that particular subject. Typically, people are reluctant to learn what is unpleasant or offensive or requires them to think outside the box to get out of their comfort zone, or requires them to change or confront their self-image. That's typically the way we all are. The problem with that is that all these things here are the places we need to look. When we get offended by something, by anything, if we stop and look at it and could learn from it, we have a tremendous amount to learn. Because remember, we've taught over and over, here at ABC, it's not the sin that you know that causes your problem, because you can confess it. It's the sins that initiate or enforce or energize the ones you know. Take somebody who's an alcoholic. Is that a problem? No. Why is a person an alcoholic? And that's true for every kind of ick. Okay? It's not the ick you know. It's the ick you don't know. Okay? Yeah, it's pretty icky. Okay. So, we need to be able to look at these things and to learn what is unpleasant, offensive. See, nobody can create offense in you. You have to accept it. Yeah, they may be obnoxious, they may be wrong, they may be trying to be offensive, but offense starts in you. And when we are Christ-like, nothing can offend us. That is the goal, right? That's the goal. We want to be more conformed to His image. We want to be where nothing is unpleasant to us because we can do anything that we have to do. And nothing is offensive. And thinking outside the boxes, we just live thinking anywhere. Because our minds are the mind of Christ and have no limits. And change? Well, you know, everything changes but God. But we know how to control the change through the cycle of change. By what you feed into your mind, by what you feed into your heart, and by what you feed into your mouth. That's the cycle of change that controls how and where you change. And confronting our self-image, the whole concept of a self-image is based in pride. Confront it? We shouldn't confront it. We should put dynamite to it and blow it up. The only self-image we should have is Jesus Christ. We want to be conformed to Him. The only expectation we have is that we're expecting ourselves to be conformed to Him, and we're not expecting anything else. Because every time you have expectation of others, if they don't live up to your expectation, you're going to be offended or disappointed. Whatever you do is going to be a sin. We just need to expect God to keep His word, which is really a piece of cake. You know, God will keep His word. And then expect us to be obedient to God. We have expectations of ourselves, not others. So the skill sets are different for teachability and learnability. Very different. Teachability is a function of interest, IQ, and previous training or history. Your ability to learn, your teachability, is a function of your brain, your interests, and your training. You know, children are very teachable, but they're limited in your experience. So if you try to teach them nuclear physics, they're going to fail. So our teachability is a function of interest, IQ, and previous training. Smart and experienced people quite often get bored. This is really crucial, okay? Really critical. Because people who are very smart and experienced can go into a class or a school, like ABC Healing School, and can go through the whole thing one time, and because of their intelligence, their experience, their brain, they can go through the whole thing and understand much of it and feel, I've really conquered this, and have no more interest to ever do it again. They get bored. That means they are teachable. They have teachability, but they don't have learnability. Because there's no way you can go through ABC Healing School 1, 2, and 3 and learn it all and that is affecting your behavior and changing your life. And one of the best students we ever had in ABC Healing School flew through ABC 1, 2, and 3, was a great student from the point of view of teachability, end up in the hospital in a coma. So yeah, person was great in teachability, but the learnability wasn't so great. You know, you may think I'm teaching this as an academic exercise, and I'm not at all, not in the least bit. I don't care about academia. I care about the fact that I want you all to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. That's my goal. And I'll do whatever I can to help that. But it really depends on each of you. And I'm saying it's not enough to be teachable. You must be learnable. It's not enough to have the ability, the IQ, and the experience. You must have the willingness. And you must have the dedication and the decision-making process. I remember, here's an example of learnability. When Pastors James and Karen came here, they came with tremendous experience. And they just finished, probably still were, running a healing room. John G. Lake Healing Room, which had been doing for like 10 years. And they came here and they went through healing school semester one. And if there is anybody around who could go through healing school semester one and walk in and say, well, I know all that stuff, probably it would be the two of them. So they went on to healing school semester two. And what did they do? They also took healing school semester one at the same time. Imagine that. With all the experience and miracles they have in their lives, they took it again. Because not only did they have teachability, they had learnability. Frankly, all my staff have done that. All my staff has done that. But not all my staff have had the tremendous experience in running a healing room for 10 years. Or being on the mission field for a long, long time. But all my staff has teachability and learnability. Every one of them. So teachability is a function of interest, IQ, and previous training. Smart and experienced people quite often get bored and lose interest, especially after the first pass through. Smart and experienced people quite often get bored and lose interest, especially after the first pass through. You know who also has a challenge with this? The group of people who are high C's, very detailed, very knowledgeable, very analytical, very good students, but once they get comfortable with something, a person, a situation, a school, they become high D's. They are C D's. In any situation, they're either acting like a C or a D, which are exact opposites. C's and D's are like exact opposite. But somebody who is a C and a D, once they've gone through it and they get comfortable with it, they become a D, which means they quit learning. They pretty much quit learning because then now they think we've mastered it. Now we should tell the teacher and the other people what to do. And if any of you are listening to me now or on video, I'm not trying to offend anybody. This is based, like I said, on 20 or 30 or more years of ministering to people and learning. Okay. Now, learnability is a function of decision, commitment, and effort. Different skill sets. Learnability is a function of decision, commitment, and effort. Learnability is not primarily a function of IQ. There is a motivational notation, I don't know what they call it, poem, I guess, about persistence. And in it, it says, you know, education is not enough to make you successful. It says the only thing that makes you successful is persistence. Because the streets are full of educated derelicts. Okay? No, what makes you successful is persistence. And very big in learnability is persistence. commitment and effort. That's persistence. So learnability is a function of decision-making, commitment, and effort. When interest fails, when you lose interest, and the going gets tough, the learnable person buckles down and works harder. Buckles down and works harder. But if they're really learnable, they should be working harder. Part of the process is, what can I learn out of this situation? The learnable person always wants to learn. Things didn't go right. This person were really rude to me. Well, what are you doing wrong? You're offended. What are you doing wrong? The learnable person is always looking to learn. Obstacles to learnability. Obstacles to learnability. One obstacle is, they all come down to demonic influences. But one seems to be more like what I call scriptural foundation, the more like what you might look at as habitual traits, habits, personality, that kind of stuff. More of the emotional, soulish area. And the other one then has to do more with more specific and clear demonic attacks. But the foundation of all of them is demonic activity. The foundation of all is demons trying to get you not to learn so you won't draw closer to Jesus Christ. Psalms 14 verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Everybody is listening to me, and everybody is going to listen to this CD or watch the DVD, is a believer. Unbelievers really aren't interested in teachings like this. So everybody who's listening to me is a believer. Believing in God means none of these expressions really are directed to us. It's talking about a fool, and a fool is someone who said there's no God. That's so important. That's said in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool is unlearnable, but teachable. A fool doesn't want to learn about God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And with knowledge and wisdom, you have to pass through understanding. So the fear of the Lord is not something that's going to help a fool. Because a fool doesn't believe that he is a God. So a fool may be very teachable, but he's unlearnable. Many fools are very intelligent and very educated. Before I got saved, I fell in the category. I was a fool. I've said in my heart, there was no God. So they all apply to me. Okay. Now let me tell you somebody else they apply to. There are many people who believe that Albert Einstein is the smartest man in the world, in history. No, I'm not one of them. I think he's very smart. And if I accept Jesus Christ, who I think is the smartest man ever, then my choice would be Sir Isaac Newton. I'm a big Sir Isaac Newton fan. But many people believe it's Einstein, and some, of course, subscribe to the fact that the smartest man is the one that just died recently, proclaiming that there's no God. I forget his name. Okay? He just died sometime in the last year. Hawkins, right. Hawkins. Yeah, Hawkins. Stephen Hawkins. Here is from his Einstein's thought. Einstein wrote a note on this, a letter. It just sold this week for $2.89 million. A little letter. $2.89 million. Here is an excerpt from it. Here's what Einstein is saying. The word God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weakness. Product of human weakness. The Bible is a collection of honorable but still purely primitive legends, which are nevertheless pretty childish. That was spoken, written by the man that many believe to be the smartest man in the world. And those who believe it just spend $2.89 million to buy that letter. Now, which is more, which is dumber? The one who wrote it or the one who spent $2.89 million to buy it? Anybody who spent $2.89 million to buy that does not believe there's a God. And if you don't believe there's a God, then according to the Bible, you're a fool. Okay? So foolish behavior can be very hard to recognize. Okay? Because it is, there's value at looking at the mistakes of a fool. There are 69 references to a fool in the scriptures. I've got about 10 or 12 here. Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Okay? So the wise in heart receive commandments and instructions, by the way. A prating fool shall fall. What does the word prating means? I thought it's so important, actually. I wrote it in here, two lines down. Note, prating means talking long and idly. Talking long and idly. Especially the word idly. People get nervous when there's quiet. I remember I was in the Philippines, in Manila. And this evangelist was there. He was also a publisher, the only Christian publisher in the Far East at that time, maybe still is. And he was given an opportunity to speak to this large church. And what he did was he had us all sit quietly for, what was it, 2 minutes, 5 minutes? He just said, let me show you how uncomfortable it is. Just sit quietly and don't say a word for 2 minutes. Okay? Silence is golden. You know, don't be uncomfortable with silence. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that listens to counsel is wise. You know, the scripture says, all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. He that regards reproof is prudent. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A stripe being the whipping. So one reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 lashes into a fool. Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lip enter into contention. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It's an honor for a man to see some strife, but every fool will be meddling. These are all things that we all want to avoid. Not that we are fools, but we don't want to do something foolish. And if the definition of a fool is so bad, then we certainly do want to do our very best to avoid the things that they do. Proverbs 26:12. See a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool. See? That shows you how bad pride is. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now we need to trust in a heart that's full of the Word of God, then graft the Word of God, full of Christ, and full of love. When we give our heart to the Lord, and our heart start being filled with that, that's the kind of heart we can trust in. But an unborn again heart of an unborn again person, and a heart that doesn't have the engrafted word is a heart you don't want to trust, because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's a very, very pithy, very, very pithy statement, full of meaning. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. See a man that's hasty in his words, there's more hope for a fool. See, when the Word of God is taught, and it's new and it's interesting, believers are teachable by the fact that they accepted Christ. It tells you they're teachable. They're willing to change, they're willing to learn. But we don't want our teachability just to be restricted in the area that we're interested in. So we see all these things in the scriptures, and we only focus on the ones we like, and we ignore the ones we don't like. Or we hear all these teachings, and well, we focus on the one we like, but we pay no attention to the one that we don't agree with, even though we don't understand them. And that's what I'm trying to say. We need to be more learnable, all of us. Because it's in becoming more learnable, we can see the small things that are keeping us from becoming more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The learnability of a child. You know, we talk about children are humble. And sometimes, because when we were kind of wise, we said, one of the reasons why children are humble is because they are teachable. But what I want to say tonight is not so much that they're teachable, it's that they are learnable. See, children have no preconceived ideas of most things. They have an open heart that you can write on. And you can pick any topic and teach them, and they are willing to learn about it. But as we get older, we get preferences, likes and dislikes. We get opinions. We get biases. And all these things tend to take away our learnability. We're still teachable when we find it interesting. We're still teachable when it's new. Bible says, you know, people run from church to church because they have itchy ears. They're teachable, but they're not learnable. They go to where they hear what is being taught that they want to hear being taught. But the true stuff that will change them and show them where they need to change, they're not learnable about it. You know, it's a thing that maybe any pastor will tell you, is when something is being taught, the people who need to hear it the most are the ones who don't show up. It's amazing. That's why people who are serious never miss a service. Because the service they miss is probably the one they need to set them free. Because that's how the devil works. He's not stupid. So the learnability of a child. Matthew 18, verse 2. And Jesus called the little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Now obviously he wasn't talking about physically changing. He's talking about something that kids do that we need to do. And I believe that something is learnability. We need to be willing to learn even and examine even things that contradict our fundamental beliefs and our fundamental personality and behavior. Children, you know, they just learn whatever you tell them. And they never say, you know, my gosh, you know, I've heard that before. No. Children, you just teach them whatever. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the humility certainly is there. But I believe the big part of that humility is the humility to be willing to learn so we can change from whatever sources are bringing that learning. If God's people perish for lack of knowledge, which they do, and if we have not attained the image of Jesus Christ, there's something preventing us from moving forward. And I believe the things that prevent us from moving forward are the things that we find difficult to learn because it's confronting us somehow. And that's the message I'm trying to get across. Now, the direct demonic attacks. I had promised to cover this when I was teaching and counseling a number of years ago. And time really flies. But I always say better late than never. So here we are. Recognizing your hidden sins and your secret faults. Psalm 90:12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Luke 8:41. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye when you don't perceive, recognize the beam that is in your own eyes? So we can see a small thing in our brother's eye, but sometimes it's difficult for us to see the beam in our eyes. But who can see the beam in our eyes is our brother and our family and our friends and our enemies. So words coming from others, you know, it's like we teach prayer. I don't often pray for people anymore if they're present. I lead them in a prayer. If I lead them in a prayer, that's probably 100 times more powerful than if I pray for them. Because the word is, it's their word coming out of their heart. So I recommend you all, instead of praying for people, when you can, lead them in a prayer. Miracles will pop much faster. It's the same concept here. You lead them in a prayer. Their words are much more powerful. You accepting what others say about the mote in your eye is a lot more powerful than you trying to dig up those beams by yourself. I mean, if we're both looking for something that's hidden in a room and the room is dark, and somebody has a little pencil flashlight, and another guy has a big, you know, large searchlight, and you have to find this thing as fast as possible, what are you going to use? The pencil flashlight or the big searchlight? You want to use the big searchlight. And the big searchlight for your sins are the people you know. The pencil light is you trying to find it yourself. So when somebody sits down and tells you all the things you're doing wrong, listen carefully. You know, they may be wrong because they don't know all the things you're doing, but there's a lot of truth could be in there. Steps of demonic resistance during counseling. I think probably what I'm going to do here, say here, is probably most of you who've been experienced counselors would see what I'm saying here, okay? So this is not talking to your family. This is not ministering to your family. This is not even ministering to somebody. This is a situation where it's a counseling situation. You and the person are in a counseling situation. That's what I'm referring to here. And how do you know when you hit a big nest of demons? How do you know when you've come up into, you know, a stronghold? Here are the steps that you recognize. First of all, you start counting somebody in an area and they start denying it. And you know it's true and they're denying it. Denial is the first step that you're moving into a stronghold. How do people deny it? I didn't do that. I'd never do that. You're totally wrong. Or it never happened. Denial is the first step that tells you you're moving into a stronghold. Then if you get past the denial somehow, What happens is the person starts talking, does one of two things. You should add one on here, okay? It says non-stop talking, you should add in there, or clams up, shuts up. One or the other. Non-stop talking or clams up. So if you're talking and the person is denying and suddenly the person starts talking and you can't get them to stop, you know you're in a stronghold. If the person shuts up and won't say a word, you know you got a stronghold. Now, if you're pushing further into the stronghold, the next thing is they start attacking the counselor. It may be blaming them. It may be, it can be any way of attacking them. You know, why are you trying to tell me this thing when you know when your life is such a mess? Why are you telling me this when you're the one that caused it? But the attack on the counselor gets pretty heated. You can't do in-depth counseling with somebody who needs to get set free and break your stronghold if you can't take a whole bunch of insults. If you have been counseling and nobody has insulted you, then you really haven't worked in a stronghold. You may say, "But yeah, but look at what came out. Yeah, but look at what is still there." Okay? Then if attacking the counselor doesn't work, after a while, they do one of two things. They get into a rage or they start crying. And after that, it's they hang up the phone or they withdraw or terminate the counseling or the relationship. And I've had all these things happen to me for 20 years, maybe 30 years. So you'd be amazed at how many times I sat on the phone and listened for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes without saying a word. In the early days, I'd sit there and just listen. Over the last, say, 5 years, maybe 10 years, I put on the phone, I go in, do some work, and come back. And they're still talking. Repeatedly. Sometimes the same person. I'm not as, what the word is, committed as I used to be. Instead of listening to all this, I just go do some work and come back. So as you talk to people, not even counseling, just in your everyday life, you will see the same many of the same symptoms. So if the person starts attacking you, you know you're no longer dealing with the person, you're dealing with a demon. So what are you going to do? Just shut up and pray for them. Well, I hope this has been some help for you, because it sure took me a lot of time to put it together. Okay? So view it as a product of over 20 years of dealing with these things. And understand, we all need to be learnable. We all need to be willing to be taught. Not willing to be taught what we want to learn or what we know, willing to be taught that which will help us change. Because if you're willing to be taught certain areas, we may not know the area that we need to get us set free. Okay? Thank you all for your attention and time. God bless you all.